ಶ್ರೀಮದೇಶ್ವರ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾಗಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶದಲ್ಲಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಯೋಂತಃ ಪ್ರವಿಶ್ಯ ಮಮ ವಾಚಂ ಇಮಾಂ ಪ್ರಸುಕ್ತಾಂ ಸಂಜೀವಯತ್ಯಖಿಲ ಶಕ್ತಿಧರಸ್ವಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಅನ್ಯಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹಸ್ತಚರಣಶ್ರವಣತ್ವಗಾದಿನ್ ಪ್ರಾಣಾನ್ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ಪುರುಷಾಯ ತುಭ್ಯಂ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
ಸೊ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಟು ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್. We are reading Canto 5, Chapter 10, Verse Number 18. The chapter titled as Maharaj Rahugana meets Jadabharata. Tadbruhya Sango Jadavanni Gudha Vignana Viryo Vicharasya Paraha ವಚಾಂಸಿ ಯೋಗ ಗ್ರತಿಥಾನಿ ಸಾಧೋ ನನಃ ಕ್ಷಮಂತೆ ಮನಸಾಪಿ ಭೇತುಂ ತದ್ಬ್ರೂಹ್ಯ ಸಂಗೋ ಜಡವನ್ನಿ ಗೂಢ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ವೀರ್ಯೋ ವಿಚರಸ್ಯ ಪಾರಃ ವಚಾಂಸಿ ಯೋಗ ಗ್ರಹಿತಾನಿ ಸಾಧೋ ನನಃ ಕ್ಷಮಂತೆ ಮನಸಾ ವಿಭೇತುಂ
word to word translation tat, tat. Therefore bruhi please speak asangah who have no association with the material world jadavat appearing like a deaf and dumb man nigudha completely hidden vignana viryah who have full knowledge of the spiritual science and are thus very powerful vicharasi you are moving aparaha who possesses unlimited spiritual glories vachamsi the words uttered by you yoga grahitani bearing the complete meaning of mystic yoga
Sadho.
Sadho.
O great saintly person.
O great saintly person.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Naha.
Naha.
Of us.
Of us.
Kshamante.
Kshamante.
Are able.
Are able.
Manasa api.
Manasa api.
Even by the mind.
Bhetum,
to understand by analytical study. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. My dear sir, it appears that the influence of your great spiritual knowledge is hidden. Factually, you are bereft of all material association and fully absorbed in the thought of the Supreme. Consequently, you are unlimitedly advanced in spiritual knowledge. Please tell me why you are wandering around like a dullard. O great saintly person, you have spoken words approved by the yogic process, but it is not possible for us to understand what you have said. Therefore, kindly explain it. Purport. Saintly people like Jada Bharata do not speak ordinary words. Whatever they say is approved by great yogis and those advanced in spiritual life. That is the difference between ordinary people and saintly people. The listener must also be advanced to understand the words of such exalted, spiritually advanced people as Jada Bharata. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna and not to others. Lord Krishna especially selected Arjuna for instruction in spiritual knowledge because Arjuna happened to be a great devotee and confidential friend. Similarly, great personalities also speak to the advanced, not to Shudras, Vaishyas, women or unintelligent men. Sometimes it is very risky to give great philosophical instructions to ordinary people. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the benefit of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, has given us very nice instrument, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The general mass of people, although Shudras and less, can be purified by the chanting of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Then they can understand the exalted philosophical statements of the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra for the general masses. When people gradually become purified, they are instructed in the lessons of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialistic people like Stri, Shudra and Dvijabandhu cannot understand words of spiritual advancement. Yet one can take the shelter of a Vaishnava, for he knows the art of enlightening even Shudras in the highly elevated subject matter spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Guru Shri Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhambitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna
Hare Krishna
So, we are reading the incident of Jada Bharata and his enigmatic life of Bharata Maharaj, of the Emperor Bharata, who was two lifetimes before Jada Bharata. His name was also Bharata. So it's a beautiful story, and I remember reading this in the early stages of my Krishna consciousness life, and I read a book called The Great Escape by His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj. Great Escape, I don't remember the title, but I think it was called Great Escape. So it was a small book. It was amazing when I read that, actually. So he was a son of Lord Rishabhadev, and he had gone through three lifetimes. First as an emperor called Emperor Bharata, and then he was born as a deer, an animal, and now he has come back to another life of a Brahmana's son, also known as Bharata, but he was popularly known as Jada Bharata. Now we saw, if you are those who have followed his life for the past few months, he's in a very advanced stage of consciousness. Generally, in the nine stages of devotional service, we have Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. The stage of Vishnu Smaranam is also a very advanced stage, especially those if you want to be in constant Smaranam. Smaranam means remembrance of the Lord. Constant remembrance of the Lord 24/7 is really a difficult thing to do, because it's an advanced stage of consciousness. We see Jada Bharata had reached that stage after three lifetimes. And he was in a very advanced state of consciousness. Shravanam and Kirtanam actually paves the way for Nitya Smaranam. So Jada Bharata had done his seva in the last two lives before, and now he has come to the stage of remembrance of the Lord all the time. So therefore we see it was not a coincidence his father named him as Bharata again in this lifetime. So there is no word called coincidence in Sanskrit. It's very interesting. Even akasmat also means the word that is ordained by the Lord. So there is nothing called as a coincidence. So it was reminiscent that he was named as Bharata. Hey, here you are, your name is Bharata. Not the Bharata the emperor, but Bharata who is a poor Brahmana. So his father named him a Bharata without even knowing that he was the emperor Bharata. And what's interesting is in this lifetime, this Jada Bharata remembered himself as the emperor in two lifetimes before. So he knew that he was an emperor then. He was an animal in his last life. And now he's just like a poor Brahmana's son. So remember, if we can remember all our past life, it will be horrible actually. Even if someone remembers that he was an animal in his last life, walking on four legs. So it was on one side a ghastly thing to be in that state, that he remembered his last life, he remembered him being an emperor, he was ruling the whole world, the whole universe, and now he's just a poor man. And can you imagine, he can go and say, hey, do you remember, I was the emperor, two lifetimes back I was the emperor. He needs to be sent to a psychological ward, a psychiatric ward. So people will think like that. So it's a difficult situation to be in, and yet Jada Bharata was put in that situation by the Supreme Lord's arrangement. So Jada Bharata in this situation was helpless to a large extent, he was helpless. But at the same time, he was cognizant of the purpose of his existence. What business I had unfinished in my last life, I have to finish it in this life. I don't want to procrastinate anymore. I don't want to take the risk that I did in the last life as the emperor, where he fell down to the animalistic life. So therefore, he had taken a vow to stay away from all material engagements, even Vedic traditions and practices, which his father was trying to teach him. His father was trying to teach him how to do Sandhya Vandana, how to do Achaman. He was doing it all wrong. He was doing it all reverse. So he was kind of a recluse all the time. Because majority of the time, even Vedic traditions can misconstrue a practitioner from the actual path of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, he was averse to all of this. He said, I've done all the seva now. Let me now be in constant remembrance of the Lord. So he was already in that stage. Therefore, he was moving around like a Jadavan. So if you see the verse, Rahugana is saying, Asanga, Jadavan and Niguda. He's addressing him as a few adjectives. You are behaving as if you are a Jada. Now, Jada means matter. So all the time, he was almost like a dull guy. Not interested in anything. So his cousins, his village people, everyone around him used to call, Oh, that guy, that jada, that person was a recluse. Yeah. So they used to say in the village, if there was something that was rotten, they said, don't throw it. There is Jada Bharata, you give it to him, he will have it. Don't waste it. There is this guy, he will eat it. He can eat anything. And he used to eat it very joyfully, as if he is not bothered being it rotten. So he was a devotee of a top class. He was a top class yogi. He has nothing to do with this material. Everything is equal for him. Rotten state and ripened state is all equal. Fruit is equal for him. So people could not understand his stage of consciousness. Hence Raghugana is saying, you appear to be a dullard, but what you just now spoke, it doesn't seem to be something that a dullard can speak. But it seemed to be very cryptic for me. So can you please explain? That's what the conversation is at this point in time. So if you remember, even Rishabhadeva was in this consciousness. When he was roaming in the forest, he was roaming naked. He was always in a state of reclusiveness. He was dirty. He had not bathed for a long time. People used to call him mad, as a madman. So this demeanor of certain class of transcendentalists is only because they just want to remain recluse so that they are not disturbed by externalities. But generally there is a sect of people who try to imitate this, who try to roam naked, who try to do panchamala. There is something called as, so Rishabhadeva used to put his own mala, his own poo on his body. So there is a sect which practices that these days. They don't take bath for a long time. They don't cut their nails. They pull their hairs and things like that. We have to understand that they do not become devotees after coming to this stage. Not that they will remain dirty and then they will practice Krishna consciousness. That is not the understanding of this. The understanding is because they are in such an elevated state, they are not aware of their external existence. So this is a natural state of Jada Bharata. It is not that he was artificially imitating it. He was naturally, he had no interest whatsoever in the body. He did not have to follow Vaidhi Bhakti. Go and take a bath, then do Achaman, then do Shuddhi, then chant the mantra, Om Pavitra Pavitrova. He was always in that Pavitra state because the body anyways is mala. This is made of stool and mucus. No matter how much ever we clean, it is always dirty, always. It can't be clean. So what is important is the cleanliness of the internals. So therefore he was clean internal always. So therefore it was immaterial for him from the external perspective. So therefore we have to understand that it was a natural state. One should not imitate the state that I need to remain dirty because I need to remain internally clean. So it's the other way around. Just because one is dirty doesn't mean he can get clean. And just because one is clean outside, it doesn't mean he is clean inside. So what is the principle is one has to be clean inside. And Srimad Bhagavatam, very interestingly over a few chapters, is unveiling the story of Jada Bharata. You can call him as JB, you know, James Bond. So the movie of James Bond is unraveling. He is the real James Bond. What's interesting is all through the life when Vedavyasa is explaining the life of Jada Bharata, Jada Bharata has not spoken. He's been insulted. He's been scolded, reprimanded, he's been beaten, he was even tried to be murdered by the so-called worshippers of Kali. It is said that when his head was put on the chopper, he did not resist. And when the butcher was ready to butcher his head, he did not resist. They said, put your head down. He said, yes. Then they were ready to chop his head off. He was indifferent to all of this. That means he was so much out of body consciousness. This is the foundation and principle of Krishna consciousness, to understand that I am not this body. And he was at that stage of consciousness. And it's a very, very elevated stage of consciousness. Sometimes we take this philosophy that I am not this body but I am a spirit soul to be very light. But that is the foundation upon which everything is based upon. And if one has not realized that, one is not eligible to talk about Radha Krishna's elevated pastimes. So we have to come to the platform of the spirit to even understand the concept of a spirit, and then what to talk of the Supreme Spirit and the engagements of Radha and Krishna. And Jada Bharata is demonstrating by example that he was at this stage. So Bhagavatam is unveiling his character, and now after such a long time he has spoken. He has not spoken so long. All along, Vedavyasa has explained to him that how he was treated and how he was ridiculed and how he behaved, but he hasn't spoken. Just after the intermission, half of the movie is done. Now after half of the movie, the second half, he's opening his mouth. And to whom? That to a king. And it comes as if that the king has ridiculed him, the king has scolded him with harsh words, being very rude. And it is then when Jadabharata has spoken. How rude are you speaking, O dear king? Do you even know what you mean by a monarch? Do you even know how to rule your subjects? So he speaks like that. So he's speaking not because he's revolting against the king, or not to show off that, hey, do you know what? I am Avadhuta. How dare you talk to me like that? He's not coming out with that. He's coming out with compassion for the king. See, speaking also was out of compassion, not as a matter of show off, not as a matter of demonstrate that he is an Avadhuta. Avadhuta means one who is indifferent to this world. And we just celebrated another Avadhuta's appearance day yesterday. Nityananda Prabhu also was an Avadhuta. That's why sometimes he used to tie his cowpin into his head. So Avadhuta means they are indifferent to all these material customs. So Jadabharata was in that consciousness. And he's speaking to Rahuguna also. There is a lot of learnings that we can learn from this section of Bhagavatam. And one important learning that we can see is that of a guru and a disciple, a spiritual master and a disciple's relationship is coming out here very apparently. A guru or a spiritual master who preaches, he needs to have natural qualities of a devotee. Krishna in the 12th chapter defines what should be the quality of such a devotee. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukaksham. This is one of the qualities of a devotee. 12.13 and 14. Krishna says, Adveshta sarva bhutanam. Adveshta means a devotee is non-envious. So Jadabharata is actually non-envious on the king. He is not envious about the king. And he is Maitra Karuna Evacha. Maitra and Karuna. So his talking out to Rahuguna is also out of compassion. And if you see, he is always Santushtam Satatam Yogi. Santushtam means what? He is always satisfied, always. Yatatma Dhrida Nishchaya. He is always determined about his practice of sadhana or his devotional service. Who? Jadabharata here. And Mayar Pito Mano Buddhir Yomad Bhakta Same Priyaha. So he is always dedicated his mana and buddhi, his mind and intelligence to the worship of Krishna. So we can see this character in the personification of Jadabharata. So whatever theory that Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam is manifesting those qualities. That's why Bhagavatas are discussed in Bhagavatam. So he was a very elevated Bhagavata. So the compassion of the spiritual master, why did Jadabharata speak to Rahuguna in the first place? Why did he not speak so for such a long time? So what comes apparent is, where was Rahuguna going? Where was he off to? Sorry, my boy. Huh? Yeah, he was going to meet Kapila Dev. Why was he going to meet Kapila Dev? Because he was seeking transcendental knowledge. So it was his spiritual seeking that had set him out. And Jadabharata could recognize it. Oh, here is a genuine disciple. Here is a genuine seeker who can understand what I am trying to say. So therefore I can give my compassion to this guy. Because otherwise, most of the people around Jadabharata were all materialistic. They were all externally focused. So he did not open his mouth. Because they are niguda. Niguda means secretive. If you see the meaning of niguda, Prabhupada writes as completely hidden. So there are certain certain sections of transcendentalists who do not open their mouth, who do not try to preach to everyone, because they know it's of no use. Because many a times, probably the worldly people will not understand it, or they will misunderstand it. That's a bigger danger. So therefore, they'll not open the mouth. And generally we see this, especially after you become a Krishna conscious devotee, you tend not to talk about Krishna consciousness to your family. Because the first thing they'll understand is misunderstanding. Or they will start having hatred. Or you got converted to ISKCON. Better not hear you. This is the first typical reaction we see. But we see that the compassion is flowing because King Rahuguna was a genuine seeker. Therefore, he became eligible to receive the instructions from Jadabharata. And the spiritual master's another quality is samalochana samalostrashma kanchana. That means he who sees gold and loha, is iron as same, and the pebbles and iron and gold as the same. So he was indifferent to all of this, whether he being a, not that he, oh let me preach because he's a king. He's not preaching just because he's a king. He's just preaching because he's a genuine seeker. So sometimes it is important to understand these points, because I see sometimes in the internet there's a lot of misunderstanding and misquoting the Shastras. And there was another qualification King Rahugana had. And what was that qualification? We just studied that yesterday. Naham vichankshe sura raja. He said, chanke brisham brahma kulavamanat. Brahma kula avamanat. Avamanat means insult. So Rahugana was asking his pardon, to be pardoned, because he has offended King, he has offended Jadabharata. So because Rahugana was apologetic, therefore he had spoken, therefore Jadabharata was trying to speak. And this is very important for us to understand that the character of Rahugana was aware that I have set out to understand spiritual seeking. I have gone out, I'm going out to seek transcendental knowledge. But if I do an offense to a devotee, I can never understand spiritual knowledge. So he knew about that. And this is one thing that comes apparent in these two verses. Because aparadha means, the etymology of aparadha means, radhat, arthat, aradhanat, apaghataha. It is radhat, arthat, aradhanat apagataha. That is the meaning of aparadha. Aparadha means radhat arthat. Radhat arthat means what? For Radharani. Aradhanat. Aradhana means worship of Radharani. Apagataha. That which is a hindrance in the worship of Radharani is called aparadha. So therefore, in the 10 offenses that we chant, the first offense we talk about is to not blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their life for the propagation of the Lord. And then comes Nama Aparadha. The second aparadha, that offense we have to be careful, is of Nama Aparadha. Nama Aparadha happens if we blaspheme the devotees. So therefore this particular offense a devotee should be very, very careful of. Because that is how a devotee can fall down. Not because of Nama Aparadha, because even Nama Abhas can give liberation to anyone. Even offensive chanting can liberate us. So it is actually not Nama Aparadha, it is the Vaishnava Aparadha that is very dangerous for a devotee. If a devotee has to be brought down, he will bring down himself by doing Aparadha, by doing offense towards a Vaishnava. And Rahugana was aware of this. Brahma Kula Avamanat. The last verse ended with that I have offended a Brahmana. Brahmana here really means a Vaishnava. So therefore Rahugana is asking excuse that please pardon me, because I have offended you. And you have seen that he is asking with a genuineness. Because if you see a few verses before in this chapter, he was very insultive of Jadabharata. He said, oh, you look to have the built body, but you are not carrying it properly, or not carrying the palanquin properly. So he was insulting him. But now as soon as Jadabharata has spoken philosophy, he has fallen at the feet of Jadabharata. So there is a genuine remorse coming out of Rahugana, and therefore Jadabharata was preaching to him. So this is very important for us to understand. And the king was aware of this particular thing. And we also studied in the first canto that Shushrushova Shraddhadhanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchihi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. How do we attain to Krishna Katha? How does one get interest in Krishna Katha? Only when Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha. If we do seva, if we do service to the devotees, only then we can attain the interest of hearing Krishna Katha. And when do we know when the hearing or affinity to hear goes down? When this Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipraha. When seva, the opposite of seva is aparadha. Of whom? Of Vipraha, of the Brahmanas, of the Vaishnavas. So therefore, aparadha is very important for us to understand, to be careful of offenses to devotees. And that's coming very apparent in this section, that Rahugana was seeking apologies for his behavior. So therefore, it is natural that one may commit offenses, but what is more important is apichet sudurachara. One comes to the point of genuine apology to say, I made a mistake, I'm really sorry, please excuse me, so that my process of Krishna consciousness can continue, so that I may not be hindered in my hearing. San Mahat Vasudeva Kataha Ruchihi, that Ruchi will go down. So a devotee is aware that if I do offenses, two things will happen. I will lose taste in chanting, I will lose taste for Krishna Katha. This is the natural side effects of offenses to devotee. So, therefore, if you see in our Shastras, even before we study the scriptures, Prabhupada writes in the introduction, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. So we are worshipping Krishna Chaitanya as Deva with whom? Parijana Sahitam. So Vaishnavas are also seen as a part of divinity. The Lord takes special interest in those devotees of Him. So therefore, if you offend the devotees, Krishna will not get offended if you offend Krishna, but Krishna will get offended if you offend His devotees. So therefore, Vaishnava Prad is very, very significant for a devotee to understand. What to talk of Vaishnavas? The entire Yadu dynasty, Krishna's own kingdom got relinquished by, because of Vaishnava Prad. They offended the sage, is it not? They offended the sage. Therefore, Krishna teaches, not that the Yadus were abominable. Krishna is using the Yadus to teach us a lesson that Brahmana aparad, or offense to a Brahmana kula, if you offend a Brahmana, it is so disastrous. The entire Yadu kul can get destroyed. So it's very important for us to understand. So that's one thing that is coming apparent in this. Nigudha, so he is very hidden. Another apparent thing that is coming here, you will see, is the aspect of communication, perspective of communication. We see in today's world, in the corporate world, everybody is trying to communicate with one another. If you see the entire world, if you observe, early in the morning there is chirping of the birds. They are trying to communicate. Everybody is trying to communicate. I remember when I used to travel with my friend to the office in the morning, so I used to leave sometimes early, like 6:45. The first thing he has to do in the car is he needs to switch on the radio. There's a famous radio commentator, I keep forgetting his name. He's very famous. So everybody wants to hear his voice in the morning. And he will talk some rubbish. So when I came to Australia, I had to take exams of IELTS. I don't know if you all know about it. And some other English exams. Sometimes I used to dread learning this language because You have to hear the conversation of someone, and you have to go through the rigmarole of hearing conversations of someone. And 100% of the time, the conversations are useless. So therefore, what is important, we see in the scriptural study, the significance of bhasha, the significance of communication, the significance of language. What's interesting is the development of language is unique to humans, isn't it? Animals don't have a developed or an evolved language. The purpose of language, what is the purpose of language? We say our language is there to communicate. Is it really? Is it really to communicate? The animals communicate better than us. Is it not? The tribal people communicate better than us because they don't have a fully evolved language, yet they communicate. So the scriptures say, the Vedic practices say, the only purpose of a language or a bhasha is for spiritual upliftment. That's the only purpose of a language. Language is not to communicate, because if you really see, even a deaf and dumb person can carry on with his activities every day. Is it not? He can eat, sleep, mate and defend. You don't need a language for it. So what is the purpose of a language then? The real purpose of communication is to come to the platform of understanding who we are. Understanding who we are, understanding who Krishna is and what is my relationship with Him. That is the only purpose of language. And therefore, in the Vedic parlance, language was called as Samskritam. Samskritam leads to Samskriti. Therefore, culture and language was very intimately connected. This word culture was used initially only for growing something, cultivating, but then it became culture as in culture of humans. So therefore, these two are intertwined. Why I'm saying this is because if you see time and again in the scriptures, there is always a perspective of communication. The spiritual master is thinking, how do I communicate about Krishna to this disciple? Veda Vyasa is thinking, how do I communicate the essence of the Vedas to all those who are pursuing the study of the Vedas? Now Jadabharata is trying to communicate what is the ultimate purpose of the seeking, which Rahugana is not able to understand, and therefore he is seeking further clarification. I did not understand what you said. Can you please clarify? So therefore, the language that has evolved, especially Sanskritam, is so deep to understand that the only purpose of that language, or for that matter any language, till the advent of factory civilization, it was the only purpose was to understand who God is or what is spirituality. It is so much so that the language is so evolved that, you know, they say Krishna is not different from syllable Om. Yeah, Krishna says, I am the sound in that syllable Om. Although it is made of three characters, it says there is also pronounced as one syllable. That is, Om is one syllable made of three aksharas, three letters, A, O and Ma. Right? And Krishna says, what is that character in which I am? I am the character of which is called as A, Akarosmi Aham. I am the character A. Why does he say that? So if you see, why I am bringing this point perspective is the evolution of language. Why? Because even a dumb person can make the sound A. That means even he can chant the name of the Lord. Because Akarosmi Aham. Krishna says, I am the name A. I am the syllable A. So therefore, if a dumb person can make a sound A, he can still chant the holy name. Because Krishna is saying, I am that sound A. So therefore, even a dumb person can chant the holy name. It's very interesting perspective of communication and the evolution of language. So therefore, this perspective also is coming out here. And therefore, why I mentioned this is Prabhupada in the purport says that generally philosophical concepts cannot be explained to Stri, Shudra and Dvijabandhus. And yet, Vedavyasa tries to explain these concepts. Okay, Kali Yuga people cannot understand Vedas. Let me split the Vedas into four. Okay, that is also not enough. Let me take another part of Veda and split that into Smriti. And then split that into Puranas. Split that into Itihasa. So he composed Mahabharata. He composed the 18 Puranas and the Upanishads. And the Pancharatrika Vidhi. So he is composing so many things for us. So he is trying to communicate. He is using the language to communicate. Krishna does this as well. When Krishna comes here, he tries to preach this to Arjuna. But it is very difficult to understand. That which is unexplainable, that which is inconceivable, he is trying to put that under the framework of a language. So it's very difficult. So therefore Prabhupada says that the philosophical concepts are very difficult to understand. Hence Prabhupada introduced the first initiation. One who chants the holy name of the Lord, his consciousness gets purified and then he becomes ready to receive the knowledge that the Shastras are trying to teach. So therefore we can see the perspective of communication also. And the concept of Niguda. Here, Niguda means secretive. This knowledge is secretive. Krishna repeatedly says in Bhagavad Gita that this Rahasyam Idam Uttamam. Krishna says this is Rahasyam. This is very secretive knowledge. It seems very apparent, but then when you read it, what is secretive about this is realization of this knowledge is very secretive. And we will see that here Jadabharata did not preach to everyone. He was very secretive. He opened his mouth only to King Rahugana. Why? Because he thought only he is eligible. And we see time and again in our parampara as well that not everyone preached to everyone. Now, Gaurkishwardas Babaji Maharaj was a Babaji. He did not preach to anyone. He had only one disciple. Who was he? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Jagannath Das Babaji also was like that. Although he had a few disciples. He was also behaving like that. He was behaving like a Babaji. So generally, elevated and exalted personalities behave against the social norms. In fact, it is said when Jagannath Das Babaji was in Vrindavan, he asked a sweeper of Vrindavan to say, can I eat a roti? Can I eat your roti? Then the sweeper was very hesitant. Oh, you are a great Babaji. You are asking roti from my hands. How can I give? I don't want to go to hell by giving my roti to you. Babaji says, you will go to hell if you don't give me the roti. I'm asking you. Brahman is asking. You're not giving me. So ultimately the sweeper very hesitantly gives the roti and Jagannath Babaji eats it with a lot of bliss in his face. And immediately in Vrindavan there is a big furore about this. How come such an exalted devotee has eaten from the hands of a Shudra who is sweeping the floors of Vrindavan? Then Jagannath Das Babaji, they go and present it to Babaji. And they are very hesitant to propose this as well because they know Jagannath Das Babaji was one of the exalted devotees of those times. So they were very hesitant. And the way they presented it also, Babaji, you know, the thing that you have done, people are not happy. They want to understand why you did this, why you ate from the hands of a sweeper. They're very bewildered. So we need some clarification. Then Babaji laughs. You know this person? This person is rolling in the speck dust of Vrindavan every day. And he's smearing the dust of Vrindavan every day, the sweeper. So how glorious he is that ultimately our knowledge has to reach us there that we can roll in the dust of Vrindavan. And he's already rolling. That means he's a very great Vaishnava. So I'm eating roti from his hands. Then the people who had come to complain about the roti had, you know, ziplock. They had gone. They had to go out because this was the consciousness of Jagannath Das Babaji. So the demeanor of such exalted devotees, they preach sometimes to break. They break social norms to hammer the point of advanced spiritual endeavor. So therefore, they sometimes act very secretively. And here in this case, Jadabharata also was acting like this. We see again, Sukadeva Goswami was like that. He had disheveled hair. And we also see, even in the Vedas, there is a rishi mentioned called as Raikwa. Have you all heard about Raikwa? He's called as, there's a rishi called as Raikwa. In the Upanishad, they describe him as a Raikwa with scabies. You know scabies? It's a very itchy illness of the skin. And there is a rishi called as, in the Chandogya Upanishad, he used to always itch. And he used to sit with a cart. Have you seen some people like that in Melbourne? The homeless people. He used to be obnoxious. He used to always have a cart where he had all his belongings. Just very exactly like the homeless people we see in Flinders Street. And he used to always itch and sit dirty like this. So there was a king called Janashruti in the kingdom. And he was very, very learned. He was very learned. And one day he was resting on his palace. He saw two birds, two hamsas flying above him. And one hamsa was warning the other hamsa, "Hey, be careful. There is a most learned king there, resting below. Make sure you don't fly over him, otherwise you will get burned by his knowledge. He's such an exalted personality." And the second bird says, "King Janashruti? Who is that guy? I don't know who that guy is. Is he better than Raikwa?" So the bird says like that and flies away, right? Immediately the king thinks, he can hear the birds, of course, because he can hear the birds speak and he can understand their language apparently. So Janashruti now becomes surprised. "Oh, there is someone called as Raikwa whom I don't know, who is more learned than me. I need to find who is." So immediately summons his people and he says, can you all find who this guy is? Someone in my kingdom is there who is learned. I need to find who this is, but I don't know who is. How come that I am not aware of this such a personality? So they all try to find him, but for their surprise, they don't find him. Because they obviously go to the Brahminical places, they try to find him, they don't. They have done all their search and finally some soldiers come to the road end where a guy is sitting there scratching his body. He's sitting like that, dirty guy, and sitting next to the cart. And the soldiers are very hesitant to ask him because if you see his demeanor, he's very dirty. The soldiers think twice. By any chance, have you seen Raikwa? They ask him like that because they've asked everyone. Do you know who is Raikwa here? And in the Upanishads, it is explained. It's very funny. The Upanishads are very funny. The answer that the Upanishads give is, the way he answers, Raikwa answers, "Raikwa is me only." He's itching, and while itching, you know, he's having that pleasure of itching, and he answers in a way like that as if he's itching. So that is how they introduce this particular sage, and he's a very, very exalted sage. The soldiers don't believe him, yet they take him to the king. And then the king surrenders to him and the episode comes like that. So to cut the story short, so you will see the Upanishads, the Shastras time and again bring about such personalities to tell us that externalities do not matter. What matters is the internal realizations, internal stage of consciousness they are in. Therefore, such devotees do not preach. But if you really see our Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport that such philosophical discourses should not be preached to Sri Shudra and Dvijabandhus. And yet Srila Prabhupada went out and preached to not even Shudras but the fifth class. He wrote his books and he ordained us to distribute his books to one and everyone. So this is the mercy of our Vaishnava. This is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That even though these philosophical discourses or this transcendental knowledge is not supposed to be shared to everyone. In fact, Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita 18:68 that this should not be shared by those who are envious of me. And yet, Vaishnavas like Srila Prabhupada ordain himself and ordain us to say, go and distribute this freely to everyone, the Harinam and the scriptural knowledge. So therefore, if it was not Prabhupada, I could not have been saved. I could not have had access to this divine knowledge and what to talk of sitting here and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's only because of the mercy of a Vaishnava, of his divine ways, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, that who take that risk of preaching this philosophy, this knowledge to one and everyone, although we might not be eligible to receive this. So in this case, King Rahugana was eligible, but in my case at least, I was not even eligible, and yet the mercy was there. And this is what we need to learn, that as preachers, we need to go out and give this mercy to one and one, only one, everyone in fact. And this mercy is flowing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and to whoever is receiving it. In whatever way we can give them, prasadam, books, kirtan, or bringing them to the temple. So with this I summarize. The point that comes apparent in this verse is there are certain sects of transcendentalists who do not come apparently like preachers, who do not preach too much, but they preach by their demeanor. So their externalities do not matter, but their internal consciousness is what matters. That they do behave like this to teach us that the internals is what matters. And what's important is, as a disciple, what should be our demeanor and what should be our approach to receive, to prepare ourselves to receive this transcendental knowledge, and what should be our consciousness to receive this, and what should be our consciousness if somebody is preaching also. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments or corrections, we can discuss for a while.
So you mentioned how the Dhamma can make a sound of awe, and
yep.
Is that the holy name?
Yes, because Krishna says, I am the syllable O, Akshara, Akarosmi, Aham Akarosmi, he says. I am the letter A, Krishna says. So, A, Om is divided into three alphabets, A, U, Ma. The first Akshara A has a very significance, because if you see in Sanskritam also, the word A is, if you see, most of the Sanskrit ends with an A, Rama, Krishna. So that A signifies the name of the Lord, because that's the first letter. The bhasha begins with A. Adi Akshara is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, I am that Akshara. So, if a dumb man is bereft of speaking, he can't chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He can simply make the sound A, 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 and still chant the holy name, provided he understands that A is signifying Krishna's names. Because he can't pronounce words, because he's dumb by birth. So even by making sound of A, he can preach. So that is the beauty of the language, how it is structured, and the philosophy behind that language.
Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking about the 10th chapter of Gita, how we can actually understand, because Krishna says different things, and I am the shark itself.
Yes.
So if someone thinks of the shark when they're
yes.
their body, it doesn't mean anything. But if they remember that is Krishna says that.
Correct.
When they make a spiritual connection,
correct.
That's when it
correct.
Is.
Correct. So, sambandha is important. That's why all three have to be together. There has to be sambandha, abhidhaya, and so sambandha, everything that we do has to be linked to Krishna ultimately. So, remembering water is a taste is not important. Remembering Krishna is the taste of water is important. Rasoham apsu kaunteya. So, rasoham, Krishna says raso aham. I am the rasa, I am the taste in water. So, this water is very tasty. It is tasty because Krishna is that taste in that water. So as long as I connect that taste to Krishna, I have remembered Krishna while even drinking water. So if a dumb person, while even making the sound ah, he can remember Krishna. So therefore his sounds that he is producing is also a chanting of the Lord. Shravanam and Kirtanam is done while even making those sounds.
And because that earth is a part of home, even if he doesn't understand, it should happen.
The consciousness is important. Ultimately, one has to come to the perspective of consciousness. So, if somebody can explain to him that you are chanting A, but did you know that A means chanting of the holy name? So, then his sound, because what is important is just not making the sound. The consciousness behind the making of the sound is important. If somebody makes him aware that you are chanting the holy name by making that sound, then his making of that sound will become auspicious. Otherwise, it won't be auspicious. So therefore, the knowledge and the consciousness behind the activity is very important. I always say that. So therefore, if somebody is, let's say, cooking for Krishna, if he is aware that he is cooking for Krishna, then the result is more apparent. But if somebody is cooking, but he doesn't know he is cooking for Krishna, then the consciousness is missing. The missing link is the consciousness. So the one has to join yoga. Yoga has to be performed. Yoga means to connect. Connection with Krishna is important. So until then he will be making sounds, but until he becomes aware, he will probably not be he will not realize the significance of his sound that he is making. But a person who is hearing him, at least if he knows that that sound is reminding him of Krishna, that's glorious. Does it make sense, Madhuri? Have I answered you? Not yet.
Because the Holy Man has his idea that we understand or not.
Yes.
And as Valmiki, for example, didn't understand what Brahma means.
Yes.
Then it had effect. And because it's related, especially to the word Om,
So, chanting of the Holy Name will bring us to the realization that is the Holy Name. If we are chanting the Holy Name unaware of it, at least it will bring us to the realization that it is good to chant. It will not bring us to the realization that I can know Krishna by that, but it will bring us to the realization that it is good to chant the Holy Name so that I can know Krishna. So it's the next step. It's an intermediary step.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Because I'm on the body level, I have difficulties distributing people who are, as you said, Rishi, who are sitting at external appearance, and then the soldiers were hesitant to ask me. So I go to the same stuff every day. How do I overcome that?
Actually, ISKCON is very well structured in that. Thanks for asking that question, because who is not in that consciousness? If I might put a royal V here. That is why if you see the logo of Gaudiya Sampradaya in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you see, he put a circle and there were two sections of it. One section was the Bhagavat mark and one section is the Archaradi mark or the Pancharatrika Vidhi mark. So he said to come to the level of Raganuga mark or the Raga Bhakti mark, one has to practice the Vaidhi Bhakti. So by diligently practicing the Vaidhi Bhakti, by taking a bath, by doing Gayatri, by doing our sadhana appropriately, by applying the rules and regulations correctly, by worshipping opulently Radha and Krishna, we will come to the point of worshipping Radha and Krishna in the mood of Vraj. So therefore Prabhupada, actually it is Lakshmi and Narayan we are worshipping, that's what Prabhupada said. The reason is, we are not qualified to worship Radha and Krishna in their mood, in the mood of the Vraj. We are not ready to take the principles of Bhagavad Dharma. So therefore the Vaidhi Bhakti will purify us, the Pancharatrika Vidhi will eventually purify our existence and spiritualize all our fights. If you read the 13th chapter, we are covered with five sheets, Annamaya Koshas. All these koshas get purified when the consciousness gets purified outside in and inside out by the execution of devotional service. Then eventually we will land up in a place where Krishna will use our physical existence also for our own purification and for the purification of others. Although sometimes we might not realize that, as devotees always give this example. We are in an aircraft, we are flying at the speed of 1000 kilometers per hour, but when you see outside a cloud, you will feel as if this flight is stagnant. So in sometimes as we are practicing devotees, we feel we are stagnant, but we are not, because Krishna is taking us at high speed. But it is because of the purification is taking place, he doesn't give us that realization, or sometimes because we are still in the Anartha Nivritti stage. But eventually our goal is to go to the Bhagavat, the Raganuga Marga, but by execution of devotional service. While simultaneously doing it all the time, not abandoning the Vaidhi Marga. Does it make sense for you? Thank you. Yes, sir.
What are the other two ways in the
Sorry.
What do the other two letters mean in Om? He said, ah, here I am.
That's a different session altogether, actually. There are deeper analysis of Om, actually. A means Krishna, O means Uttama, which is Rama, Ma means Narasimha. So, there are different appearances of the Lord that is significant of the letter Om. A means Akarosmi, Krishna says, I am the syllable A. So therefore, A means Krishna. U means Uttama or Uti or one who inspires us to do good, who is Rama, who is reminiscent of Rama, Lord Ram. And Ma means Samhara, which is destruction, which is Narasimhadev. And the sound O, which forms one syllable, is reminiscent of Varahadev. So Om actually is the four incarnations of the Lord in one sense. That's one understanding of the syllable Om. There are different understandings, but Acharyas explain what they are in deeper analysis. And therefore why it is Rama, Narasimha, Varaha and Krishna is also, it is connected deeply with Jaya and Vijaya. Why he takes up these four, why only these four incarnations are very significant in that letter Om and things like that. So although it is a syllable that Krishna says, I am the letter Om, sound, syllable Om. Prabhupada sometimes says, we don't chant that because we are chanting Hare Krishna anyways, because we are addressing Rama and Krishna directly anyways. So Om is in one sense indirectly addressing Rama and Krishna, whereas Hare Krishna is directly addressing Krishna and Rama and Radharani. Does it make sense for me?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you everyone. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.